You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Tentil Places, a theater podcast. My name is Aaliyah Gardner and I am your host. And today I'm really excited to talk about what I'm going to talk about today. I'm talking about movies because aside from theater, I am incredibly passionate about movies and filmmaking and cinematography and screenplay. There's a little bit of a backstory. Jesus. When I was in the ninth grade, I was taking honors classes, and you know, because I was a smart kid, believe it or not, I was a smart kid. So I was taking honors classes, and one of my classes, I had a class with a teacher named Mr. Hester. It was my English class. And when I met this man in person, because I knew my schedule, but when I met this man in person, I walked in and when he started to speak, something in me was immediately like, oh, this guy is like Jack Black from School of Rock. Like, I thought he was kind of a joke, I'm not gonna lie, but he was serious. He was very serious about what he was passionate about, what he was talking about, and he was hilarious, and he was just an incredible teacher. And he's one of those teachers that will forever be stamped in my brain because of how much he cared about his job and how much he cared about making sure that we understood what we were doing and how we can, you know, get a little bit more creative rather than just doing something based on what the syllabus is requiring. So one of the things that we were learning about in class was utopian and dystopian societies within books. And he, in order to really fully help us understand the depth of a utopian and a dystopian society, the differences, the similarities, etc., he showed us WALL-E, the Disney movie. And I love that movie. But as soon as this man started to tell us, listen, you know, pay attention to the symbolism and everything, and this falls into what we're learning about with symbolism and metaphors in films, and when people show certain things on screen, it doesn't necessarily mean what it's literally telling you. It can mean something more and something deeper. And it really was like, it opened up a new door in my brain. The first thing that in my brain when we started watching WALL-E was, oh my goodness, I've seen this movie. Like, I feel like I can just go ahead and write a paper on it right now. But the first shot, this man stopped the film, basically, because in the beginning of the movie, if you're unfamiliar with WALL-E, it's about a robot that's left, that's like the last functioning robot on the Earth, because everybody is up in space and has been, and the Earth has been desolate for God knows how long. And there's a shot where it's zooming in from space and it's zooming into the Earth. You can see the Earth from space and it's zooming in and going into the Earth, and you see these huge, big, tall shadows, and it's like zooming in. You think it's buildings, like Empire State Buildings, maybe a city, but it's garbage. And he paused it at this point. And I'm just like, oh my God, okay, so I'm just trying to watch this movie and get through this class. But instead of just asking us like, hey, like, what do you guys think? Because all of us are looking at each other left and right, it's trash, okay? he immediately said, now take a look at this frame. What we thought was buildings, a city, a bustling society is no more, but it's garbage and it's trash and it's what they have built it up to be. Because, you know, fate is in the hands of society. I gasped. I was blown away. And after that point, I was in deep. And then he gave us an assignment to write a paper about a song, a dystopian or utopian song. And I was so excited. And I initially was gonna pick Feel Good Inc. by the Gorillaz. I love Gorillaz, it's one of my favorite bands. And I was really having trouble because I knew exactly what I wanted to write, but I just wasn't there yet. I didn't quite comprehend what was being said. And as I was writing my paper in the library, I just scrapped it. And I picked at the last minute, Brick by Boring Brick, by Paramore. And that song, I love Paramore too. I was, you know, that was definite. If you can tell, this was like maybe ninth grade. So I was in like a rock phase, like fuck the system. I'm listening to Gorillaz and Paramore and 21 Pilots and Melanie Martinez, as if that's even defiant music. But to some it is, but I fell in love with these artists. I thought they were so unique and creative, and I've never heard anything from any type of music like some of these artists that they were releasing and everything. And Brick by Boring Brick is an old song by Paramore, but it's just one of my favorites, and it was on loop at the time. But I picked that song, and that song is about a girl who's living in a fairy tale. She's pretty oblivious and in her glass house, not really knowing what's happening around her. And basically she's digging her own hole for herself, saying that you need to bury the castle, get rid of those thoughts. You need to come back to reality, because this, what is happening right now, is no good. And I thought it was a brilliant song. Guess what? I got an A++ on that paper, because with his class, he adds plus, like he will add a plus depending on how he felt about it. So for example, instead of getting an A+, I would get an A++ if I really went above and beyond. And from then on, I was like, I see things so differently now. My eyes are opened. I'm awakened. I'm gonna watch movies all the time. I'm going to listen to music and just delve in. And I've been like that ever since. So really, really huge shout out to Mr. Hester from Westport High School. I remember I luckily got to experience his class. Not everybody that I was friends with got to, but I was really grateful to experience his class before he moved, because he ended up moving away into the mountains because him and his wife had a baby. And he was talking about really just using only toys that were cause and effect, so that she knew that she did that rather than having toys that have batteries in it and loud noises. And this man, I don't, God sent. This man was God sent. And I am forever grateful for having taken this class. But ever since then, like I said, I've been more artistic and more in tune with the metaphors and in movies and film and television and music. And I wanted to share, because I like I said, I watch a lot of movies, and I wanted to share some films that are great films for theater people. Now, I need to be specific. Great films for theater people is not Hairspray. It is not Coming Soon, West Side Story. It is not The Greatest Showman. It is not La La Land. It is not a musical, if that makes sense. It's aimed at that audience. It's aimed at the musical theater audience or the artistic audience, if that makes sense. These movies were made for theater kids, in my opinion, because I watched these movies and fell in love and immediately felt related to the characters. And in the script, just felt so rich and so real, and it felt like a theater person poured their heart into it, or not just a theater person, but just an artistic person or somebody who can really truly appreciate it, or theater for what it is. And those three movies that I'm going to be talking about, I'm so excited, are Miss Stevens, Lady Bird, and Antebellum. These movies are three drastically different films, but I still encourage you to go out and at least like see what the fuss is about. Watch a trailer, watch the movie. They're all incredible. And there's something in it for everybody. One, Antebellum is a horror film, and a horror suspenseful film. You know, take that, put it off to the side. Miss Stevens, in my opinion, is more of a easygoing comedy. I would consider it a comedy. I don't know who else would consider it what. If I'm looking at Google, it considers it a drama comedy. Miss Stevens is a drama comedy, and a dramedy, if you want to call it that. Lady Bird is a drama, I believe. I would consider it more of a dramedy as well. Miss Stevens and Lady Bird are merely about the lives of two people, and just an average day for Miss Stevens, or an average weekend for Miss Stevens, and an entire school year for Lady Bird. And Antebellum is just the complete outlier, and I'm gonna save it for last because it's totally outrageous. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right into the first film, which is Miss Stevens.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
Now, Miss Stevens stars Lily Rabe, Lily Reinhart, and Timothy Chalamet, and it is a film about a teacher. Her name is Miss Stevens, and she was assigned to go on a field trip with her students, three of her students, for a theater competition. And hijinks ensue. Like, that's the whole plot. But this movie is so rich with thespian culture and the thespian vibe that we had in school. When you're going to your audition and you're super duper nervous about it, but your friends are hyping you up in the car, telling you it sounds great, and oh my goodness, they had the Christopher Durang tuna fish monologue in this movie, and I about flipped my chair. I was so excited that they put this tuna fish monologue in this movie, because that is real. Any theater person or thespian, like if you did the thespian thing in high school, any thespian knows that tuna fish monologue by Christopher Durang has been done 97 million times at these competitions, because it's a great monologue. But if you don't do it right, of course it's gonna, if you don't do it right, or if you don't work on it hard enough and understand the content and all of it, it's just not done correctly. It's a funny monologue, so teens tend to pick it quickly because it's funny. But it made me so happy, because nobody would know that unless a theater person was heavily involved in the making of this movie. Timothy Chalamet is like kind of the angsty student that's going on this trip, but my God, this guy is insanely talented. This kid, Timothy Chalamet, is so talented, because there is he's doing the competition. He's there to perform over the weekend, and there's a shot in the movie where it's focused on, the camera is zoomed in on him, and he's doing his monologue, and it's zooming out, and you can see that he's getting adjudicated, and it's actual performance. This monologue blew my mind. Now, I mean, this is kind of a spoiler, but it's not vital to the plot. I think he gets second place in the competition. I'm not sure if they were doing a Critics' Choice, honorable mentions in the movie. I don't quite remember, but he did get second place. I was like, let me put the person who got first place on screen, because Timothy Chalamet blew the lid off of the monologue, and it feels authentic. It feels like a real field trip. I feel like I'm like smoking a cigarette with Miss Stevens and this other teacher that are talking shit about the kids. Like, it's not that kind of movie, but you know, it's just really, really special. And Lily Rabe is incredible in it. And I've always loved her because she's been in American Horror Story, and I watched her in that all the time. I love her. She's an incredible actress, and she really like killed it. So that's the first movie, Miss Stevens. Now you can watch this movie on YouTube for free. Come on, for free. So go and watch it, because it is worth it, okay? It is such an excellent movie, and it's a great watch. So moving on to the second movie, we are going to be talking about Saoirse Ronan's Lady Bird. Lady Bird is the story about a lower class family that is placed in the early 2000s. And, you know, it's about a girl going through her senior year of high school. And that's it. She joins a play. She gets a boyfriend. She loses a boyfriend. She fights with her mother often. It's merely the progression of our main character, Lady Bird, who, you know, she wants to be called Lady Bird, but her mother, like, wants to call her birth name, of course, but she wants to be called Lady Bird. It's about Lady Bird and her story throughout her senior year. And she joins a play, and it's a great film. It not only focuses on the lower class experience of high school, which is a lower class white family, like in the early 2000s. You know, that's not like the most exciting, you know? What kind of content do you have from that? You have a story, you have a life, and we're gonna follow it and see where it takes us. And Saoirse Ronan killed it. And guess who else is in this movie? Timothy Chalamet, once again, because he's in all the good movies, as he should be, because he's incredible. This movie, it's an excellent movie. I really don't know how else to explain it. It's just about a girl who's going through her senior year of high school, and her mother have an incredibly strained relationship, and they just fight all the time. Her mother doesn't understand her. There's a point in the movie where she even asks her mom, "Do you like me though? But do you, oh yeah, I love you. No, mom, but do you like me? Do you like me? What if this is it?" You know? And it's hard, because it really highlighted in my perspective, like an outcast. And we have all of these high school movies with the cliche, the outcast, and oh, look over there, those are the jocks, and those are the cool kids, and this is that, and this is this. And yes, we do have those cliches in the movie, but the movie didn't make her feel like she was the butt of every joke, and the person that we need to be hating on throughout this movie, and like, oh, she's so funny because she's weird, or she's so funny because she's different, or she's so funny because she did this wacky thing. Oh my goodness. She's a real person, and it feels like that. And I don't really know how else to explain it. It's just an excellent movie. And for theater people, I think it's really nostalgic to see the cast coming together for opening night, you know, like the piling into the restaurant at like 10:30 p.m. because you just finished out the show, so we're all gonna go out to eat. Oh, who's coming? Let's go ride with such and such, because we're gonna go. It's just it felt really nostalgic, and it made me feel like how I was feeling after some certain shows that I would do at school, because in Florida, Steak and Shake was the spot because it was open late. The only restaurant open late whenever we would finish out our rehearsals or our shows, there'd always be groups of like 10, sometimes like 15 kids, like teenagers coming in to eat and just hang out and chill and everything. And you can just tell how agitated the waiters are, like, oh my gosh, another theater group, okay. But it just feels really good and nostalgic, and it feels like a warm cup of coffee and like a snuggly blanket on like a Saturday, if that makes any sense. And lastly, I am moving along to Antebellum. Now, I am taking a sharp left with this movie because it's not a comedy, dramedy, whatever. It's a horror, thriller, suspenseful film.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Now, trigger warning, this movie does contain rape, the subject of kidnapping, the subject of racism, the subject of many things that could possibly offend. So if this would offend you, now is your time to skip ahead or, you know, push through if you want to hear about it, which is perfectly fine. This movie is about an author, a very successful author named Veronica Henley, who, wakes up and, tries to go on throughout her day, and she consistently keeps seeing signs and very odd happenings going on around her, and something happens to her, and I cannot, specify what that is, but because the film, there's a huge twist in the movie, and it shook me to the core. And I will talk about that in just a second, because it's why I'm talking about it, the spoilers. So I will be talking about that in a second. But this movie is really just putting your own thoughts on you. There's a shot in this movie. I can't even tiptoe. So this movie is about a woman who gets kidnapped, and she's a slave, and she is being tortured, and because when you try to run, of course they're gonna beat on you, they're gonna torture you. I mean, come on, it's a fucking slave movie, for God's sakes. What did you expect? This movie was I thought going into it that this movie was going to be about an ancestor and how blood, how trauma runs deep within families, because there was shots of present day and there were shots of the slave scenes in the movies. Janelle Monáe's in this movie. I absolutely adore this woman. She is a quadruple threat. I think that she's a brilliant woman, and she's one of my biggest role models, and I admire her not only as an artist, but as a woman, as a Black woman, as a producer, as a businesswoman. I admire this lady. She is playing Eden in the movie, and she is playing Veronica in the movie. Veronica gets kidnapped and she's put into slavery, and it's this whole thing, and it's intense, but spoilers alert, she is in present day. The whole movie is set in present day, because, and we don't know this because the movie opens up and it's, there's bits and pieces here and there that show, maybe something could be a little bit more modernized or whatever. But there is a scene in the beginning of the movie, the whole plantation and the setting of this film is being established. And it's this long single take that just sweeps across the entire plantation. And you see the soldiers going back and forth, the slaves that are doing laundry, etc. And then you see a woman and a man being taken away by these other guys, a black man, and a woman that's, you know, being chased by a guy on a horse. And this woman gets basically, like, what's the word, lassoed around her neck and murdered because they tried to escape. Now, this woman was, you know, they're in slave clothing. They're in the time period's clothing. But this woman had a septum piercing. Now, in the beginning of this movie, my dumbass really thought to myself, maybe they really tried to do this for fashion. No, it was a little too modern. And it just kind of sat in the back of my head. And there's shots throughout this film on this plantation of these people, these humans, these black people sobbing and tearing off their clothes and being so heartbroken as to what is going on with them. And this camera is panning out and you can see them crying and sobbing and having an anxiety attack because of the reality of their situation. And it's panning out and all you see is this black moments with this character in the middle of the most beautiful, bright, and vibrant field that I have ever seen on film. And these are continuous shots throughout the movie to try to tell you that this is happening. This is happening. This is happening now. And at some point in the movie, the halfway point practically, it stopped and practically restarted, because now we're seeing Veronica Henley before she got kidnapped, before she was taken away and taken to this place, and at her home with her husband and her daughter, and how successful she is and how well-spoken she is and how how brilliant this woman is, and all of the odd happenings that happen before she actually gets kidnapped. And there's a shot at the end of this movie because of, like, she gets out. There's a shot at the end of this movie that shook me, because this woman was riding the horse because she escaped, and the sun is rising, and you see this big Robert E. Lee statue. Robert E. Lee is, you know, the general of one of the wars. God, please forgive me. One of the wars, but he's a very well-known general. I learned about him in school. They're consistently teaching kids about this man in school. And the weight of this situation, can we not acknowledge this shot right here? This man owned slaves and most likely endorsed and condoned slavery and torture and the kidnapping of black people in America. And we are encouraging our teachers to share this information and uplift this man for everything that he accomplished. Sure, he accomplished all of these things for our great nation. However, he also enslaved many people. There's a scene that stuck out like a sore thumb in the movie where the general of the war reenactment camp it makes this big speech at this big dinner where everybody's celebrating and drinks are flowing. The slaves are looking good, posted up, ready to serve, ready to go. And the general basically makes a big speech about how he's so proud of how well his men did in the field today. Great job. You know, we need to rise up. You know, this land was always ours, right? This land was always ours. So it's up to us to reclaim what is ours. And all of these women and the slaves here, all the people over here, they're here for your pleasures and your needs. So just like we do what we do, let's take back what's ours. It's so funny to me because parents nowadays, because of all of the outlandish very sexual artists, and parents are so angry at these artists because of what they're creating, when these artists didn't sign up to be a part of the Wiggles or the Doodle Bops or any of these children, these bands, or these being an artist that's centered around children and creating content for children. They are grown ass people that make music for themselves. And they are so quick to jump on these people who have a purpose and who have a message to share, to be able to uplift or educate people in general. But they're not quick to do research on the morals and the opinions and political views, you know, where these people stand on certain very important topics, like, you know, the equality and inclusivity of people in the workplace, and, you know, I don't know, just don't enslave people and don't be racist in general. Like, it's absurd to me. It really is absurd to me. And it angers me to the point where, you know, it's one of those subjects where you just want to grab the person and shake them and say, you're wrong. Why can't you understand? But it's not up to you. At that point, if the person is so far gone, you can't, there's nothing else that you can really do about it. And that's basically what this movie was showing. Like, there are still people like this in the world. There are still people who have these views and who think that everything is for white people, and, you know, these great leaders are the ones that need to be uplifted and celebrated and worshipped because they were brave and they were bold enough to do these things and say whatever they wanted and take whatever they wanted. And it's wrong. It's just wrong, you know. Nothing else more to say about that, I guess. And one of the scariest lines that one of the men said in the movie was, you know, we're nowhere and we're everywhere. Ooh, it sends shivers down my spine. That was because it's true. They are these types of humans, these types of people who have these views are teachers, they are police officers, they are principals, they are firefighters, and, you know, they are nowhere, and yet they are your next door neighbor and somebody that you think that you can trust with your life, when in reality they couldn't care less. That was the real message of this movie, and it was missed because of failed marketing. But it's not up to the marketing team to, you know, give you the concept of the movie. It's to market the movie, and that's what it did, and it got people to watch the movie. I understand that it pissed a lot of people off because of the, you know, it was very deceiving, it was very, you know, it was to be misconstrued, it was set up to be a very different film than what it actually was. And I get it. But to the people who reviewed the movie by just judging it based on the trailer, you shouldn't have even made a review about the movie. Just move on. It's not a trailer review. It's a movie review. How did you feel about the movie? What did you think about the cinematography? What did you think about the script? I watched this movie maybe 3 times. This movie is everything that people need to see, because even though there are some parts of the movie that I didn't necessarily like, there's a Gabrielle Sidibe, I'm so sorry, girl. Like, I didn't really like your performance in the movie. I thought that she did great, but the writing of her character was a little much for me, and she was just a little extra for my liking. But other than that, the movie was excellent, and it just goes to show, when people want to start riots and fights and shut down these protests and people trying to educate rather than, be violent. It's always met with animosity rather than understanding. It's so, this movie was more to me like a PSA to do your research, and that's all that it needed to say. But people really took this movie as something nasty because of the marketing. And marketing for film is out of the filmmaker's hands. Marketing teams handle marketing for movies. People do not understand that there are different departments for different things when it comes to one single film. There's the social media team. There's the trailer team, which is the main team that people are so mad at, the people who create movie trailers. The movie trailer was pretty deceiving. Because it made it seem like the film was going to be about culture and experiences and history running deep in our blood. But I love that even more about the film, because I knew nothing about this movie going in. I didn't even know anything from the trailer. And it was a wake-up call. I mean, granted, we all know it's not okay to be racist and it's not okay to support these things, but there are still some people out there that do not know and they are not educated. So when people watch this movie and get mad, I truly believe that this is why. And I believe that this is a movie for theater people or not just theater people, like I said, a million times, artists in general, because the artist and the director really took the time to paint these pictures for us, to paint these images of what Black suffering in America looks like. Even though it's very outlandish to conceptualize a Civil War reenactment camp that kidnaps Black people and enslaves them for their own gain and pleasures. It is so crazy to conceptualize it, but it is even crazier that it doesn't seem that much crazier than what is going on right now. I felt the pain and I felt it, and I really admire the filmmakers for what they accomplished with the movie. And the people who have been reviewing it are only reviewing it on that they're mad about the trailer and everything. It runs way deeper than that. So those are my movies that I recommend for all artists to go and watch, because there are way more. And honestly, that if you want to hear more some movie suggestions, I honestly love talking about film, and trying to tie this into my podcast really is very special. So if you really enjoy it, please let me know. Feel free to shoot me a comment or a message on Instagram of some things you may want me to talk about at Tentil Places Podcast. You can follow me on Instagram at Aaliyah_Gardner. Please check out these movies, Miss Stevens, Lady Bird, and Antebellum, starring Janelle Monáe. Thank you all so much for listening, and I will catch you in the next episode. Goodbye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.